Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Dykes and Dole Whip go hand in hand. That is the unspoken watering hole.
Okay, I'll wear that shirt to Disney.
Don't talk to me before I've had my Dole Whip and my pussy. I'm gay.
I'm dyking out, you're dyking out. Let's dyke out together. See what it's all about.
Dyking out.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast you can find at the Dole Whip stand. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali, and I just found out what Dole Whip was on this episode. Stay tuned. Today we're dyking out with writer and comedian Colette McIntyre.
Woo! So excited to have her back. Some quick announcements. Remember to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up for our Patreon where we have ad-free episodes. We have new episodes behind the paywall every week where we talk about what we're watching, what we're doing, what we're fighting about. You never know.
Yeah.
We also have Zoom hangs, cool stuff like that. Go there, patreon.com/dykingout. We have some shows coming up. I'll start off by saying I'm bringing back Love's a Pitch to Come On Everybody, 8 p.m. Saturday, September 17th. So be on the lookout for that. Get tickets. It's so much fun. Melody, what do you have going on?
I will be in Los Angeles for most of September. I have a lot of fun shows, but I guess I could shout out the queer ones.
Mm-hmm.
I am on a queer show Tuesday, September 13th, called Big Rocks. Heard that one's a fun hang dance party after, perhaps. I don't know. Still getting more information. There's also Good Heroine on the 17th. I'm seeing some straight ones. I'll skip over those. But Hot Goss seems to be a very fun show. I know their next one coming up next week at least has like Mae Martin, Mo Welch, you got your Sabrina Jalises. Like, so I'm excited to see the lineup for the one I'm doing September 28th. Friend of the show Morgan Miller has a stand-up show I'll be doing the next day on the 29th.
Yes.
At the Airliner, upstairs at the Airliner, called Dirty Laundry. Fun queer times.
Look at you getting booked on all these shows in LA.
Yeah.
That's great. It's so hard.
Yeah. I luckily feel like a lot of Chicago friends are now there and vouching. That's fun. I'm so curious. A very Jesse Spann. I'm so excited. I'm so scared. I'm going for an extended amount of time. I don't want to be rushed and just do like a week of shows and bounce. Like, no, I want to lean into the LA lifestyle and figure it out. Feel it out. See if eventually I might want to live there or not. Like,
that was my follow-up question.
Just kind of feeling it out.
Yeah.
For a while.
I think that's good. That's nice.
That's nice. And we're also, obviously, I'm making the bigger trip out of Dinah Shore.
Right.
So it's just going to be a real West Coast month.
Yes. Get those vibes while you can.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a show at Stonewall. So once you get back and you're all, you know, turned into a total California marketing lesbian.
Me and my new personality will be with you reunited at Stonewall October 10th.
October 10th. Lineup to be announced at some point. Make sure you're following us at Dyking Out on Instagram. That's where we announce all the fun stuff.
And to be announced, Carolyn's gayest thing of the week. Carolyn, what is the gayest thing you did this week?
Oh, the gayest thing I did, soy gay, was that I not only went to a WNBA playoff game for the Liberty, I ran into my ex-wife there.
It was bound to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, playoff games, game three against Chicago.
Did it cross my mind that maybe she would be there? Yes. Did I think that we would pass her twice in the concourse?
Twice.
Yeah. The first time was fine. It was just like, hey. And like, I think her girlfriend spotted me first, who I've met and everything, and it's fine. But then like the second time, it felt like a little bit more awkward, maybe. I don't know. But it's fine. You know, I have to say, sometimes I cringe a little bit thinking about the beginning of this podcast for anybody who has been here since the start of me being a little bit like snarky and salty toward my ex. I've come a long way, and there's like zero hard feelings there, so much that like when I run into her, it feels weird that we're just like, hey, and like keep walking. It's like, I kind of want to know how she's doing. And I'm glad to see that she's still, you know, with her girlfriend. They're doing well. And glad we can all be united by women's basketball. And the reason that I was at the game, I mean, it was an exciting game to be at because it was game three, even though they lost terribly.
Yeah, I got smoked.
Is because I am a season ticket holder for the WNBA for next season, partly because I just want to support the WNBA more.
I mean, I was the basketball dyke, and now you've got the season tickets. How did that happen so fast?
I know. Honestly, it was when we were at the Pride game and Cecilia was having so much fun and she said, can we get season tickets for next year? I'm like, well, we're not here enough, but they make it really easy for when you're not there to transfer tickets to other people. And yeah, it's just like such a fun time. And sometimes you can think like, oh, well, I'll just like go to games. But there's so much going on in New York that you don't. So it's like, okay, if we just do this, then it will be on our calendars and it'll always be a thing of like, oh, we're going in for the game. We're going in for the game. And, you know, making a thing of it. We bought jerseys. That's also gay.
Hell yeah.
She has the black one. I have the seafoam one,
of course,
to compliment my hair.
Mermaid vibes.
Yeah. Just going to be a mermaid at the game. Another fun gay thing about it was, you know, clocking all the lesbians I knew who were at the game. Though I couldn't find Rachel Colley. I was looking for Rachel because
I saw where she was.
Yeah?
On her Instagram story.
Was it near me?
No, it wasn't. I saw where you were. My gayest thing of the week, I'll say, is watching the game from home and trying to spot your pink head. And
yeah.
Every time I thought it was you, it was someone wearing a pink hat. And one of the people wearing a pink hat was Z-Way, okay?
Yes.
You texted me.
Who's bi?
They just put, yes, and has a great episode touching on the queerness from this last season. Real good stuff.
Love it.
So you were like, they just showed Sam J on the Jumbotron and said it was Z-Way. And I was like, what? Like,
yep.
I had no idea what you meant. But then later on Instagram, I saw it was all over social media that it says Z-Way's name and comedian, writer, and Showtime's Z-Way. And it's fully that Chiron is on Sam J and her girlfriend. Yep.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah. Wrong.
At one point, it was close up on Sam J. So I saw Sam J walk in after halftime, and I had been seeing Z-Way, but didn't know it was Z-Way because she had this like fuzzy pink bucket hat, glasses, and a mask on. So it would be nearly impossible to know who that was. It was like a disguise because they showed a preview for, or like, you know, sometimes they'll do that, like a trailer for the show, and then be like,
yeah, she posted a reel of that.
Yeah.
A whole video package on her show.
And I'm like, oh, that's cool that the Z-Way is advertising at the WNBA. And then they cut to Sam J. I'm like, oh my God, that. And then eventually, like later in the game, they put the camera on Sam J and had Sam J SNL writer.
But no redo for Z-Way.
Well, they eventually moved it on because Sam J was pointing at Z-Way.
God.
And then they went to Z-Way. It was a whole debacle.
The next season's writing itself.
Right. I know. They're going to get that camera guy.
Oh, big time.
And the Chiron writer. Yeah, both of them. Billie Jean King was at the game, too. Honored her, and that was pretty cool. I wasn't expecting that. But really, it was watching Ellie the Elephant dance to...
Real good moves.
The Lesbian Chaos Song.
The Lesbian Chaos Song. Is that what we've coined it ourselves? Because
that's what we've coined it. Nobody else calls it. It's the...
I saw you post it on Dyking Out, but my sound was off. Right on the stories, you tagged Ellie the Elephant dancing to the Lesbian Chaos Song, but my sound was off. I was like in a Zoom meeting, not an important one, obviously, but couldn't listen. And I knew what that meant. And then I went back after and checked, and it was that beep 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 beep. Yep, Lesbian Chaos Song.
It is.
Would people know what that is, or is that just like an inside joke between us, though? Because
we've shouted that out here on Dyking Out, so it's really to separate the diehard fans from the casual listeners. All right,
okay.
So if you got it, that was a little treat for you, diehards. Well, that's a lot of gay stuff. We've got more gay stuff coming up. Because we are about to have a really fun conversation with Colette McIntyre, who is a writer and comedian. She's been on the pod before, if that sounds familiar. If you remember our Fat and Queer episode, she was hilarious on that. She does live shows around New York. One of my favorite guests and favorite humans. So how about we get right into it? Colette, it's so great to have you back here diking out with us. It's been a while. You're one of the few prized second-time guests of the podcast.
Oh, my God. An honor. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I have not been diking out ever since. I've been exclusively... We've done a lot of diking in, I think, right, as a culture.
Right.
There have been certain rules that we had to be really diking in more so than out. But I'm so glad to be here. It's like being with family.
Yeah. I mean, the last time I saw you, because I haven't seen you in person in what feels like forever, was we were both guests just by chance on the same podcast where we got to talk about Buffy.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Nice. We were talking explicitly about how Buffy is gay.
Yeah.
And I thought, who else would they bring on to this podcast if not you?
Right. It made sense. Have you watched First Kill?
No.
Okay, do you know what that is?
Yeah, it's the orphan movie, right?
No. It's like a teenage Netflix.
Oh, it's the gay vampire hunter.
Yeah. It's basically Romeo and Juliet, but with vampires, and it got canceled.
Oh, already?
Okay.
Yeah. It's one and done with that, but...
Wait, so I don't know if you remember the horror movie The Orphan, which is about, if you don't recall, it is what you think is a child is adopted by this like sweet, gentle, like Connecticut couple. And then, things start going awry. And then it turns out she's like a 40-year-old adult from like Eastern Europe, and she murders. And so there is now a sequel that has come out called Orphan : First Kill.
Oh.
And in my queer internet, that is all people are talking about because Julia Stiles is in it playing her mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's something queer about, you know, scamming feels like a lineage that we should all be proud of.
You're speaking Melody's language.
I love a scam story.
Well,
I agree.
Sounds like we have a lot to unpack here before we get into it.
Colette, what is the gayest thing you did this week?
Oh, what a question. I mean, for our listeners at home, they can't see me, but currently I am sitting on my living room floor doing this podcast because my two cats are very sweetly intertwined on my work desk. And so I defer to sit here on the ground.
Yeah.
And that kind of emotional bottoming for a feline feels inherently gay, you know? But I think my real answer is that on Sunday, I had the honor, the privilege to see the holy Trinity, Julian Baker, Angel Olsen, and Sharon Van Etten in concert.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. I mean, it is the closest I have ever gotten, I think, and will ever get in my life to that scene in like every witch movie where women are like naked and ecstatic dancing around a bonfire.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure the moon has now been pulled 50 feet closer to Earth just by the power of all of us in that space together.
How was it?
I mean, do I even have words? I am changed. I feel like it could not have come in a more deeply necessary time, because I don't know about y'all, but my therapist has been on vacation all month.
Yeah, it's
and like
that time of the year.
It has been rough. It has been rough. Like, me and my friends are essentially practicing therapy mutual aid for each other now.
Yeah.
Like, we have potlucks where, like, I'll bring, like, attachment theory things I learned. Someone else brings, like, an affirmation. Someone else brings a hummus, because people are always bringing hummuses no matter what. But, yeah, so, like, seeing these three women live felt like being, like, getting the month's worth of therapy that I have not been getting.
Yeah.
Recently.
Did Sharon Van Etten and Angel Olsen play Like I Used To?
You know they did. You know they did.
Why wasn't I there, man?
I don't know. You know what? And that's on me. I take that upon myself for not letting
you know. You need signal boost. To...
I was invited, but my family was in town, so I couldn't. I know.
Fuck your family. That is our family.
I did see Aubrey Plaza in Emily the Criminal that day, so I did some gay duty, but would have loved to be there.
You were doing your own practice.
Yes.
Wow. And so thank you. Yes, thank you for your service.
And thank you.
Thank you, Audrey. I mean... Yeah, it was crazy. Gen Z queers, the children, love Julian Baker in a way that I'm like, I don't know if I've ever loved anything ever in my life, actually.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, the ferocity with which they were.
Yeah.
Did Julian Baker have a TikTok song that blew up that they all...
I don't know.
...kind of got in on? There's a band, TV Girl, that... also is like a band in their 30s, but my friend went and said it was like mostly teenagers and was very confused by everyone around them at the show. It was at Brooklyn Steel.
Oh, yeah.
And they made an announcement like, wow, thank you all so much, and explained that they like blew up on TikTok and kind of, I think, explained for the other like millennials.
What's
going on?
That's so funny.
Yeah,
I saw some of Julian Baker. I feel bad saying I did walk out of her concert because Tao Gwen was opening, and I was there with some friends of Tao's, and we interviewed Tao on the podcast. So in order to be able to hang out with Tao, which felt like the cool thing to do, I had to
leave.
But it was hard to pull myself away because it puts on a good show. It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no,
she is certainly captivating. And I don't know, maybe she does have a TikTok. It would be interesting if she, because all of her songs are really devastating and about like her fraught relationship with God. So I don't know what kind of TikTok dance people are doing, or like what kind of viral pasta they're making while Julian Baker's like, God threw me away or whatever. I don't know. That's not a great lyric. I think she's just like a cutie, a very talented cutie with like hand tattoos.
Yeah.
And so that inherently like lures them. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
maybe that's what I'm doing wrong. No hand tattoos.
You know.
Yeah. We'd be bigger on social media if we just.
If you had just the tiniest little symbol on a knuckle. Woo.
I don't have a single tattoo, and that's my
same
affliction.
Neither of you, really.
Yeah 2 points from me in the community. I feel weird at this point about not having a single. And I think I would go from like not just getting one, I'd go like 0 to 100 at this point. Like, I was like thinking about what I would get, but I was thinking about a sleeve the other day. Like, I would just like go for it. Yeah,
you just walk into the shop and be like,
let's
I
go.
Need just shoulder to wrist.
Grover.
A huge Grover tattoo would be the first. I love Grover. Here he is.
Incredible.
Yeah, I would just ask them to block off the weekend.
Okay, what I'm hearing, are we going to get a tattoo after this?
Yeah.
Let's get matching ones.
Oh, look at your snake.
Oh, I know.
Wow, wow. Talk about witchy.
Listeners, if only podcasts were visual media.
I mean, we can post screenshots.
Oh, please. Y'all. Yeah. No, I was just about to describe myself as a Bella Hadid type. So maybe don't post screenshots because I was really writing a fan fiction of myself. Or
I see it.
The listeners. But yeah, I mean, listen, our bodies are just vessels, temporary vessels.
Yeah.
They're rotten all the time. Just decorate it. Throw a little something on it.
I know.
Yeah.
Put Grover there.
You know what? What movie was it where someone has tattoos, but they go through sort of like a x-ray kind of thing, like it's like something horrible happens where like the metal from the, like the tattoo is being pulled out of their skin.
What?
Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, this is gonna bother me. It was like a Fifth Element type of girl going through a CAT scan kind of thing, and she's like screaming in pain as like the tattoo is being ripped out of her skin from this like kind of CAT scanny thing. Her
and this is a horror podcast now.
Someone knows. Someone will tell me.
Okay. Yeah. Let us know.
Also, wow. My dream is to be described as a Fifth Element type of girl. Yeah. Actually, listeners, I'm no longer a Bella Hadid type. I'm a Fifth Element type of girl.
Yeah. Not like other girls.
But wait. Okay. Grover is a perfect transition, I think, technically, to what y'all I'm bringing forth today.
What are you bringing?
Quite the opposite from the Sharon Angel Julian concert. I have had an experience so deeply entrenched in straight culture, but then also weirdly gay culture, and that's for us to unpack. For the very first time in my life, I went to Disney. And I don't know, y'all. I don't know. I don't like what I saw. I'm going to say it. I don't like what I saw. I don't like what I experienced.
Okay. World or land?
Incredible follow-up. I went to the land, the original land.
Okay.
Ooh.
So okay. That, I knew Carolyn would have an opinion.
Is that my first mistake?
Yeah.
Yes.
Carolyn's a secret Disney adult, I swear. No. You're related to one.
Hold on.
You
I'm
are
related
by
to
proxy.
One. Yes. No, I... Ooh, it's a lot to unpack. But yeah, my sister is a Disney adult.
Mm-hmm.
And in like the most extreme way you can imagine, literally was at Party City today because she's turning 40. So, of course, I'm buying her Disney Princess birthday decorations to decorate my house with for when she comes for her birthday.
But that's not enough.
Okay, wow. So you are the right person to talk like. Y'all.
Yeah. She's a kadult. So I know also Disney, when I was working at an ad agency, used to be my client.
Whoa.
So there was 4 years where I was living and breathing Disney for at least 40 hours a week. And I've only been to land once. And I would say that is definitely, it's intense. It's intense because it's a lot more, there's less room to move and breathe than in Disney World, which has a little bit more space to it, and you can maneuver it a little bit better, and I feel like it's a little bit less overwhelming, where Disneyland, it's a lot. Also, I think Disneyland is the one where Cecilia spotted somebody with a swastika tattoo.
Oh, great.
And not Disney World. Surprise. It was in California and not in Florida.
Oh, yikes. I mean, yeah, in Disneyland.
It brings everyone together.
It takes all kinds. It takes all types. It takes all kinds. It's the happiest place on earth for everyone. And yeah, Disney has a...
Yeah.
they see him as one of their own.
Right. Yes, exactly.
I mean, walking in, the first thing I saw, I mean, the whole thing is outfitted like this old-timey, middle America town. And then to the right, it was like Abraham Lincoln's like theater show, dark. But truly, there was like Abraham Lincoln something, which I'm like, if Abraham Lincoln exists in the Disneyverse, that means slavery did.
Oh,
in which case,
shit.
I need to know whose side was everyone on now. Like, I need to know who Mickey was fighting for. Let's get the facts straight, okay, before I step one more foot in here.
They need to do a Civil War reenactment with them as soldiers.
And I don't think Mickey's going to come out on the right side. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The way that he has Pluto, but then we already have Goofy. It's all confusing today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's what I like to call the zippity-doo-dah of it all is the weird, I mean, not weird. It's very American. The racist history of Disney and its movies and everything, but then dressed up to be something that's like a colorful cartoon quaint. Yeah. And
wholesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so I grew up poor, you know, so I've never been to a single Disney. Like, my mom used to take me and my siblings to what she called summer camp. And I believed was summer camp until like high school, which just meant that she took us to the sprinklers of my elementary school, like what they were using to water the grass and let us run through them. And to this day, I'm like, what were the janitors thinking? And she was like, yes, it's summer camp. And I'm like, wow, summer camp is so short. But yeah, so never went as a child with my family. So I don't have that kind of nostalgic emotional attachment. I'm sure many people do. And like, no judgment. I celebrate you.
That's what creates the Disney adults. I don't think.
Right.
I think it's very rare for somebody to be a Disney adult who didn't have childhood trauma that was then eased by these trips to Disney. Go on.
Right. And it's okay. But then here we go. Then there are Disney adults that I experienced. I bore witness to, like, the fine heterosexual couple who were behind me in line at one point. As I'm sure you're familiar, Caroline, people make their own shirts, right? To go to Disney. Yeah. People have, right, there's a whole culture of people like, I'm his beauty. He's my beast, like, on his shirt.
Okay. Yeah.
Sure. There was this one couple where they had in Disney font. So I'm like, who's getting sued? Well, her shirt said, and she was pregnant, which is a factor. Her shirt said, I wanted the, and then big Disney font, D. And then his shirt said, I gave her the D. Here's my thing. Why are you, I'm not a prude, right? If we were talking right now about just queefing cum, I would be delighted. Why are you walking around Disney wanting everyone to think about you fucking?
Because that's all straight people want. And then they accuse gay people of it.
Right. It's like, we can't have drag queens reading like Goodnight Moon to children.
Right.
But this man named like Salvatore is like, I raw dog cummed in my wife. Welcome to Disneyland.
It's like, go home, focus on it, leave it there, procreate, get back here when you have your kids and have some wholesome fun.
Disneyland is full of breeders. It is. And
yeah.
So there are like the custom shirts that people make. There are the
I didn't ever thought about this.
Oh yeah, the licensed Disney apparel.
Oh, it's crazy.
But then the shirts that like people make on there's a whole Etsy business where you can probably buy, like, I doubt that those two people were even creative enough to come up with those shirts.
That's even more horrifying.
Yeah. And then it's a lot of people with those kind of like attitude shirts that just have like sassy sayings but make you seem like an awful person, and they're at Disney, and those are my favorite people because it's just such a weird juxtaposition of like, don't talk to me until I've had my coffee or ever. And I'm like, what are you doing here? You're at the happiest place on earth.
Right. They're waiting online for like Pinocchio's magical forest journey.
Right.
And their shirt says like, are you talking or are you shitting? All I'm hearing is shit. I don't know. I couldn't talk to you. And they're like, sir, why are you so mad? You're holding a cotton candy in the colors of Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and like, there's such a culture of like queer Disney fans that I find really interesting. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I was seeing a lot of gay men.
Yes.
Not a lot of dykes, you know? And I went to the place where you get Dole Whip, which is like vegan pineapple soft serve.
Yes.
So I would have seen them. Like, if they weren't there at the vegan dessert parlor, they were not at Disney that day.
Agree. Dykes and Dole Whip go hand in hand. Right. That is the unspoken watering hole.
Okay, I'll wear that shirt to Disney.
Don't talk to me before I've had my Dole Whip and my pussy. I'm gay.
Yeah, Disney gays. When I hear Disney gays, I think gay men for sure.
Yeah,
there are lesbians. I mean, I do know some queer women couples who like going to Disney. One's coming to mind specifically, but it is mostly a male thing. And my theory on this has always been that when these men were kids, going to Disney was the one time that they could be themselves. Mm-hmm. Possibly, and like, oh, it's okay to go on the princess ride, like not to be so basic and stereotypical. But I do think that that's one part of it. But I think the other part of it too is a lot of people who have like upbringings where maybe their parents fought a lot or they came from broken homes. You always remember, like, when you're at Disney, you don't remember like the parents fighting, and maybe they're not fighting as much. So it creates this sense. I don't know. This is me trying to understand my sister. I only have one sister.
No, this is very true.
And I can't just write her off. I have to just really be like, okay, what are these 7 trips a year to Disney, sometimes 7 solo trips, about?
That's expensive.
She lives in Buffalo.
Yeah.
She lives in Buffalo.
She goes to Orlando. Now, 7, that was like the year before the pandemic. But like, I would say in 2022, she'll probably go a total of like 5 times at least. Like, okay. And now she's getting into the cruises for the first time. But actually, she hasn't even been to Disneyland. Like, she just goes to Disney World and does pretty much the core parks. Doesn't even go, I think she's been to Animal Kingdom a couple times.
Purist.
But yeah.
Does she get married there?
She didn't. But, well, this is actually a sad story.
Oh, okay. Oh, no. Well, then.
As opposed to the other stories you've been sharing, which is like, well, Colette, so fun that you're being a huge asshole. Some of these people have childhood trauma. Which is like so, I mean, and it's true. Like, I appreciate that you are bringing, you know, such a nuanced, compassionate perspective. Because I do get it, right? Like, I understand, particularly for queer people, like gay men, queer women, whatever, you know, non-binary, whatever. Like, this idea of like most Disney movies, right, have this kind of outsider narrative, right? This idea that there's a lot of like misfits that don't fit in to the world.
Right.
And they have to like go outside and create it for themselves. So I could see how that would attract them.
But also body standards at the same time. It's so weird.
Ugh, like, I mean, please.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, I just do not think, I don't think that theme parks in general are made for dykes, you know? Like, I simply cannot wear the number of chains that I do normally to a theme park. It's just a safety hazard, right? And so, like, already I'm not happy. I don't feel I could be my best self.
It's a lot of walking. The Tevas can only take so much, you know?
Right. And, like, I do think we'll do, like, the utilitarian accessory as well. Like, we already have the fanny packs and the Nalgenes. I think it's, like, ride culture doesn't feel... When I think of what is a dyke theme park, I'm thinking, oh, it's a food co-op. I'm thinking it's like apple picking.
Right.
I'm thinking it's a Renaissance fair. Right. Like a Renaissance fair feels right. Like any place where thematically you can walk in without a bra. I'm like, dykes are there. They're showing up and they are showing out. You know, like Disney just doesn't feel, and obviously I'm making a generalization, but it doesn't feel a part of our world. Hashtag Ariel, hashtag Little Mermaid.
Yes. Oh, man.
Just to show people I know what I'm talking about.
For sure. No, I get it. I'm also not saying this to, like, shame you for your take on it, because I think your take is bad. No, when I go to Disney, I mean, the last time that I was there, I'm trying to think, I think it was after I went to Girls in Wonderland the first time in Orlando, which was, a lot of people don't know, Girls in Wonderland started as a response to Gay Days. So in Orlando, there's Gay Days at Disney, which is like an unofficial thing, but that's when mostly it's like 98% gay men descend, and they're all just like in their Gaston cosplay. Like, they're, I mean, but they're also like, they're so gay, and like, and Disney puts out, it's like rainbow Mickey ears and rainbow, and they're pandering and they're pandering, but it's mostly men. So these party promoters, Pandora Events, looked at it and they're like, well, what's here for the women? So they created Girls in Wonderland, which is basically just like a lesbian circuit party for 4 days that goes on around the time of the gay days, or at least when it started in Orlando. So the last time I went, I had just been in this dyke utopia for four days. And then my wife and I go to Disney, to Epcot, and it was jarring. It was jarring. Like the straightness, the hetero energy that we were hit with, like even with going on the Frozen ride, right? Like where the one lesbian character, Elsa, is
canonically
yeah, telling us to all let it go. That wasn't even enough to save it. We're like, I don't know how much longer we can be here. It's just like too many straight people.
Yeah.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% back at hundreds of stores, and it's all happening this week, May 6th to May 13th. It's the perfect time to shop for everything on your list for spring and summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. I know I'm using this week to stock up on some warmer weather essentials at Ray-Ban and Ulta, and I love that Rakuten even helps me save on travel at sites like Hotels.com. Rakuten really is the best way to shop, and you can save even more by stacking cash back on top of deals. Plus, during Big Give Week, that cash back is bigger than ever. With Rakuten, membership is free. And when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Shoppers get it.
Have you seen this Am I the Asshole earlier this summer about Disney and a wedding there?
No.
Oh, no.
Okay, I just pulled it up because titled Am I the Asshole for Not Having Catering at My Wedding? And what? I was just coming off of a traumatizing wedding experience of a now former friend this last year. Ooh. So I was like,
straight wedding.
Yeah, of course, a straight wedding. So I was like, I was just like seeking comfort in like other wedding horror stories. And
I need to validate. Yeah. I need to validate my experience.
Yes, exactly. I had no idea what I was getting into was like a Disney wedding, but you want to get into it?
Yes, no, please.
Yeah.
Okay. Me, female 28, and my fiance, male 30.
Yeah, didn't have to say the genders.
Yeah, we got it. Just got married 2 months ago and we had our dream wedding. Everything was perfect. I mean, everything. My parents, his parents helped us pay for a great chunk of the wedding so we would be debt free, and we are eternally grateful for that. Just even it's straight to even like anticipate your debt as a unit.
Right.
The issue arose about a month and a half ago when my aunt started posting on Facebook about how disappointed she was with the whole ordeal, and a few guests sided with her. Background, my fiance and I are huge Disney fans. We travel to Disney World as much as we can throughout the year. Disney is such an important part, not only to us, but our marriage. Ooh. The issue arose with our decision to not offer catering services / bar services at our wedding due to routing the money towards having a wedding Minnie and Mickey make appearances at our special day. The cost to have both Minnie and Mickey for a good chunk of time, 30 minutes in parentheses, was almost exactly what our parents had allotted for our catering budget. So we scheduled an appearance during our first dance and our wedding photos, foregoing served food, though there were plenty of facilities at the venue where people could have gone to eat. My parents were still very supportive of us, but everyone else is being really passive aggressive about it on Facebook. Am I the asshole?
Oh my God.
So it's just like, you didn't even have Mickey and Minnie there for other people to enjoy. It's like the first dance and then you're like solo pictures. Like, so they're starving, hangry, and they don't even get a pic.
Yeah, the kids don't even get to see.
Yeah, the kids.
What about the children?
Oh, also, what does it mean for Disney to be an important part of your relationship?
Right.
Like, if fucking Peter Pan himself didn't, like, matchmake y'all, I don't know what to say to you.
I mean, I think at this point, for people like that, Disney is their religion. I think as a country, we become less and less religious, but something like fills that role, and for some people it's Disney because there's like enough like story and myth Lord. And pilgrimage yes. and you know who the head figures are, you know, the hierarchy. Yeah, I don't know. I think that that's it. It's just like something that no, I have to really hold myself back from saying some really awful stuff right now.
Right, it's close to the family. I get it. There is a real reality show on Disney Plus that I think they clearly put it out there intended as marketing, right? Mm-hmm. And it's around this idea of Disney weddings. The whole series is like following one couple making their dream Disney wedding. But when you watch it, what instead you're watching is like the crushing weight of capitalism forcing a couple to compromise everything. Like, in this exact way that this Reddit post is saying, like, you see all the time, the, like, wedding planner will be like, well, okay, either you can have your father and mother and your dear peepaw there at the wedding, or you can have a Dole Whip buffet.
Right, like, right.
Oh, my grandpa.
I know. It's like, you can have Mickey beignets.
Right. They're like, you can be somewhat near Cinderella's castle, or you can, like, you can allow your, like, family to bring their children.
Yeah.
It's your choice.
Yeah.
And people will throw their family into a pit for Disney. And it's fascinating and dark and very heterosexual, I think.
Sounds like everything I love in reality TV, and I might have to watch
it. No, I highly recommend it. And, like, it's just so funny that clearly Disney was like, wow, watching these couples make their dreams come true, doesn't it make you want to get married to the happiest place on earth? And I'm like, well, no, because I don't want to be thrown into, like, a debtor's prison. Like, I would never be able to survive. I don't have the money.
I know. It's going to be homework assignment in 100 years in late stage capitalism, whatever. Like, people are going to be studying that. I just pulled up the packages because I can't help myself.
Oh,
and I'm looking at the prices, and it's the event minimums for the locations. Minimums are $7,500 to $10,000. And that's and they explicitly say minimums.
Right, yeah. They're like, that's just you stepping onto the land in a wedding dress.
Yeah.
That's all you're paying for there.
Yeah.
Oh, you can choose different, you know, Japan Courtyard, Bonsai Promenade. Just the venue fee is $5,500. Well, they're all $5,500, so that's good. Because that would be weird if they were like, no, Germany is going to be more than, like...
In Mexico.
Mickey actually has a really weird thing against Polish people, so you're gonna have to pay for it. Like, if it's a Poland thing.
Wild.
Yeah. Ooh, dark. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is something that, Carolyn, you said that it is funny to me that we've all taken Elsa to be canonically a dyke.
Yeah.
That is, you know, obviously not explicitly put anywhere. And Disney, you know, very recently it came out that they were giving like hundreds of thousands of dollars in donations to politicians who are backing the Don't Say Gay bill mm-hmm. in Florida. So very clearly Disney's politics are not in the right place. But I do think it could be fun if we, you know, identify some of the dykes in Disney from our perspective.
Yes.
You know, like in Elsa. Like, I think Dodger from the movie Oliver, it is a dog, sure, but yeah. I think that is an iconic, that is a butch.
Yes.
I've never seen anyone but a butch wear a neck kerchief that well.
Yeah.
And so I claim.
I've never thought that, but you're right. Dodger is definitely a butch dyke. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of swagger, just like jumping through the city, like, come on.
I mean, I always read Chip and Dale as a lesbian couple.
Oh.
What? The Rescue Rangers?
The Rescue Rangers, yeah.
Okay.
One's in a Hawaiian shirt, okay?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
And then the other is wearing, like, this, like, cool jacket. It just...
Okay, I mean, I'm willing to go to the ends of the earth with you.
They're adventurous.
Right, I do believe they're supposed to be brothers, but, like, let's... You know what? That's yeah. a lie.
Well, a lot of people think lesbian couples are sisters, so...
Wow. So that, you know, that proves even more that they are a dyke couple.
I just feel like when you see Chip and Dale, okay, this is really based on me as a kid naturally at the park. The characters I was always most excited to see were Chip and Dale. In their uniform IRL, they seem very genderless to me compared to...
Right, these chipmunks.
Yeah, yeah, these chipmunks. You know, there's something femme about chipmunks.
Yeah,
Chip, Dale, is that not two people you'd meet at Ginger's? I don't know.
Yeah, Chip absolutely is like running the pool table.
Yeah, it's like non-binary dykes kind
yeah.
of vibes.
Yeah. I think Chip and Dale are the OG non-binary
yeah.
Disney characters.
Okay, yes. Now we're getting places.
Okay.
Yeah, fuck Mulan, what I was going to say.
Sure, Mulan, though.
Mulan, definitely.
Queer all over the place. I think, yeah, like in the princesses, I'm thinking like Snow White going to live with like seven men in a forest. I'm like, that's Cherry Grove. That's just someone who's got like a Fire Island rental. That's me.
Yeah.
Like, Snow White is a dyke who's like, yeah, I don't know. Like, this group of guys had like a really good deal. So I'm just going to go out there for like a month.
Yes.
It's a share.
It's very Cherry Grove.
I want to claim Belle. And that's just because I think she's very much my type. You know, like nerdy, hot.
Because she reads. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. She reads and that feels different. She's not like it.
Yeah.
I don't mean if we literally watch in real time fall in love with a beast, a titular beast.
Yeah.
So we know that she's like open and fluid. But I don't know. Belle to me reads as a kind of girl who would hit you up on like Tinder and Hinge and be like, my boyfriend and I think you're cute. And you're like, oh no. No, Belle, I do not want to fuck you and your boy. Like, that is not my goal here.
It's like, why are the boyfriends always so scary looking? Why is it always a hot woman and then her dumpy boyfriend?
Exactly, because they know. They lead with the bait. They look at themselves and like, well, okay.
Yeah.
They're like, Charlie over here isn't going to get anyone. You got to go, Belle.
Right,
and
right.
You got to have your little books to work in.
Maleficent, though.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Maleficent.
Okay. Maleficent is a hard lesbian.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. She's a mean lesbian. She's an Ellen, and I love it.
Yes.
She is, yeah. Maleficent is like hard femme. Where Maleficent 100% would be on The Real L Word. Hanging out with Whitney. Like in the back of like sitting by a fire pit, bombing cigarettes and just glaring at you.
She's definitely dated Samantha Ronson, like
yes. before Lindsay and after.
Yeah, it was
Lindsay.
Like, oh no, I was the first to do that, and that's yeah. You're welcome.
It's just like what's honestly embarrassing. Right. She had like a weird thing with Cara Delevingne, and you're like, did y'all date? And she's like, that's really close minded of you. To even like we're just friends, we're close friends, and you're like, but I think I saw you make out. Yeah, I mean, I think the villains canonically all queer.
Of course. And like Sleeping Beauty especially, to me, it's one of my favorite stories because it's the most insane out of all of them. it truly is the most flawed of the stories because for those of you who don't remember, basically, Maleficent's mad that she didn't get invited to like a baby shower, right?
Yeah.
Like petty, right? She's so petty about this. So then she says, on your daughter's 16th birthday, she will prick herself with a needle and go. She tells them exactly what's going to happen. And these straight people are like, we're sending her to the woods to be raised by fairies for her entire life. And then the one day they let her leave the house is the one day that Maleficent was like, this is the day I'm doing it. Her 16th birthday was like, this is when we leave you alone because we're making a cake.
Yeah, they forgot.
They had one job.
Dykes are incredible planners. We've set a Google Calendar invite for years ahead of time. We're like, well, I would also love to see the Reddit Am I the Asshole post from Maleficent for being like, am I the asshole? Didn't get invited to a baby shower.
I told you what would happen.
So I cursed their daughter. Am I the asshole? It's like, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of on her side. The gay culture around Ursula, I understand.
Sure.
And the thing is, like, I think Ursula, I don't know who Ursula fucks, but I know that she fucks them. Does that make sense? Like, you don't fuck Ursula, she absolutely fucks you.
Yes.
Like, any hole is a goal, I think, with Ursula. She's going wherever she needs to go. And she does it well.
Yeah. A drag queen, obviously, but, like, genderless.
Right, divine.
Flotsam and Jetsam are, like, the queer crew.
Well, no, it's one of the hyenas that Whoopi Goldberg is the voice for. I'm like, that one's gay. Right.
That one's also, you said Flotsam and Jetsam, and my brain is so broken from like scrolling Lex all the time and being horny. I was like, oh my God, what does that mean? I'm like, is that a new word? I was like, I flotsamed last night. Yeah, and I mean, like, everyone, like, literally today when I'm scrolling around on Twitter, you know, not doing my job, I saw everyone loves saying that in The Parent Trap, Chessie, and I forgot the butler's name, are like a queer couple.
Martin,
yes.
Martin, what are you doing? Yes.
Okay, wow. Okay, acting real? So I'm sorry. But I just want to shout out the girl who, when the twins first arrive at the summer camp.
Yeah,
tie-dye girl?
One of them can't. Tie-dye girl!
Oh, man, I just watched a TikTok.
Yanks the bag?
Yeah, about her.
Is there a hole?
Yeah.
Who is she?
They found her.
Who is she?
She's a doula, okay?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's cool. She's a mom. Like, she's of at least four. She's a doula, I believe. She didn't pursue acting after that. And
I hope she is pulling babies out of people like she did that rucksack out of the pile of bags for Hallie.
Pivotal for a lot of dykes, that scene. It was just so minor, too. But
yes. I have goosebumps thinking about it.
I remember I wanted to be her. I didn't know if I wanted to be with her. I remember like trying to emulate her vibe, pausing, rewinding, seeing like what kind of nail polish she's wearing, like the braid in her hair, like mimicking it. Yeah.
How's her hair?
Yo, tie-dye girl. Yeah. That it was that was it. Was that it?
This podcast is dedicated to tie-dye girl. Be her, maybe raise her, maybe know her. Yes.
We got to get her on the pod.
Get her on the pod.
I'm curious, was there anything you really enjoyed that like surprised and delighted you from Disneyland?
I mean, I am truly, after all of this, people listening are going to be like, you are the worst. Because I truly have no right to come out so hot being like, y'all are clowns who love Disney. Because I will say, as soon as I walked in to those gates, strolled down Main Street, there was this a barbershop quartet singing a song about, I don't know, America and apple pies. And I spotted with these peepers in real life, Minnie Mouse, standing there by herself. My heart started racing really fast. Like I was seeing a real celebrity. And my friend, I went with my one friend, Lori, a great great gal. Why giving an endorsement?
Shout out.
But then she leans over and she's like, this is very rare. Like, this is a rare Disney moment. We're seeing Minnie. There wasn't like a huge crowd around her.
For free?
She's like, we should go. And she was like, we should go get a photo.
Without a fast pass? Yeah.
Without a fast pass. I didn't have my Disney genie. So we go up to take a photo. And I bowed to her. I bowed to her and I said, thank you. What?
What a gay reaction to a gay icon.
Right. I mean, as a high fan, I need to give kudos to the original high fans, the leaders. Yeah, I don't know what I transformed into someone I did not recognize in that moment. And I think that is a moment that I understood the power and the magic that Disney has.
Yeah.
You know? I've never seen that Colette, and I hope to never see her again. I felt scared. I didn't have control.
I mean, I do think there are, and this is where Melody's going to be goes. Like, aha,
yeah.
Aha, Carolyn
oh, here we go.
Is a Disney file. No.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
The food's good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, especially like Epcot. If you go to Epcot and you're going during like the Food and Wine Fest or the Garden Festival or any of those, there's some really good food to be had at Disney compared to other theme parks, too. And then after living in New York, the prices seem reasonable. Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Traumatic.
Growing up in Buffalo, you go to Disney and you're like, what the hell? But then after years in New York, you go and you're like, oh, what a steal. A $10 burger? Like,
where am I?
And then it's for me, I enjoy how clean it is, like that there's no trash on the floor, that they're very good at keeping it very, very clean. And I think there are a few places like that.
Yeah, it's no Coney Island.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, they're doing an incredible job. Like, I was stunned just by like, I don't even know what you call it, the set design, the art direction.
Sure.
I mean, as soon as you walk in, it's like everything is meticulous and on a theme.
Yeah.
Like everything, even down to like the water bottle labels.
Right.
Were Disney branded.
Right.
And so, you know, obviously capitalism is monstrous and disgusting and we need to tear it down. I'm the first to, you know, be catching heads when we're doing the guillotine. And not just because I love storage solutions. Love catching them in baskets. But with that said, like, Disney is this like amazing shrine to capitalism where like you really see anything you want, you can get if you're willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
And like, there is something to be said about it being so overt and like so clear.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, it feels easy and like simple.
I'm going to blow your mind with how far it goes. My sister will pay money to somebody who is a season ticket holder at Disney, and they have a whole business of going into the parks, buying Disney treats, and then shipping them to people.
Oh.
So they can get their fix when they're not at Disney.
Wow. What has she ordered? Because, like, obviously a Dole Whip won't travel.
Yeah. It's like the Mickey Crispy treats. Maybe just that. I don't know. I try not to ask too many questions, but it's not just the food. It's like certain merch that's only available in the parks. You know, like every year there's kind of like a hot Mickey ears to get. Like one year it was like the rose gold ones. And if you could find the rose gold, there was actually, I don't have it here, but at the Garden Festival at Epcot, these orange birds that they were selling this one drink in, this frozen drink, and it's like a bird made out of oranges, and it used to be like an official Disney mascot and was kind of like discontinued, so they brought it back. They were selling out like hotcakes, and I know people who like Disney who were like, can you get me one when you go? So me and Cecilia, my sister, are just like loading up on the, like, you know, slurping these frozen orange bird drinks up so that we can take the containers home because they were such a hot prize. And I bet if I looked on eBay, they'd be going for like at least $100 each.
I'm fascinated by this like black market.
Oh,
of
Disney
goods.
It's a whole operation.
And that's what, like, I guess that is what's so stunning to me about like Disney fans or Disney adults or like it's like the fandom extends to everything they touch. Like my friend Lori, a good gal, as I told you, told me in the park, like even the trash cans are iconic. Like people will collect pins of the different trash cans throughout Disney parks. And I'm like, that kind of branding, like y'all need to get into that. Y'all need to brand every part of this podcast.
Disney invented those trash cans with the swinging doors so that you don't see the trash.
What?
That was a Disney invention to have garbage cans where you put it in and then you don't see the garbage.
And it never existed.
Google this trash can. I mean, I feel I only went once, twice. I don't know. I was a kid. My childhood itself was traumatizing, so I don't remember much of the childhood at large. So
I feel like my childhood was a trash can, not a Disney trash can. I saw all the trash.
It was exposed. It was spilling over.
Can't forget it yet. Also, can't remember a thing. let me see a trash can.
So you have not been in as an adult.
No.
Do you have any interest?
You are going to be in LA
after this conversation. Like a morbid curiosity, absolutely.
I really suggest going.
I'm never going to go to a wedding there because I'm afraid I'll starve. But like,
right?
No, you would have to take out a small business loan to go to a wedding at Disney.
Just to attend. Oh, I see. Yeah. Good stuff. Good trash.
Another capitalism thing with Disney is, take a guess in Disney World. I don't know if you know enough, but like, which part of Disney World in Orlando makes the most money for Disney?
Ooh. Wait, can you give me all the, I've never been to the world. So can you give me like, can we do like a multiple choice?
Okay. There's the water parks. Okay. There's Epcot, the Hollywood Studios, Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, and then Disney Springs, which is like used to be downtown Disney, but is like the shopping district.
Oh. And it's not the obvious shopping district.
It is.
Oh, I was going to say Epcot.
No.
I thought it was going to be fake. Okay.
Well, see, I feel like I gave it away by giving that as an option.
Oh, sorry.
Because, well, no. If you go to Disney Springs, and it's not like there's a big Disney store there, but Disney Springs is like Sephora. It's like the money they make leasing out the retail space in Disney Springs, just because it's a Disney owned and operated outdoor mall, makes them more money than all the theme park tickets and all the food that they sell in the park, which blows my mind that it's so profitable for Sephora to be at Disney Springs.
Wow. Oh, they have actual...
It's actual store. It's not... It's like one Disney
it's
store.
It's a mall.
It's a mall. Stores we all know and love.
It's a mall. They just make money as Landlord Disney there. Oh, and they make more money.
Oh, shit. Landlord Mickey.
Yeah.
Coming every month, shaking people down.
Yeah.
That is wild. But that makes more money than the mall. And I guess I get it. Like, once you're at that park, you're just like expecting to spend so much money and you're just horny for consumption.
Right.
You're like, yeah, absolutely. Let me get some like Anastasia boy brow while I'm here.
I mean, no also, I know that there are going to be listeners who love Disney and who are going to be fact checking and correcting me. Let me just say all this information I'm giving was told to me by Disney employees. So it's not me. I am trusting the people at Yellow Shoes Creative. That's right. Yellow Shoes, like Mickey's shoes, who make all the creative stuff at Disney.
That's so funny they were your client, because when I worked in advertising in Chicago, they were always a potential client and we were always trying to like get that business. And like I was working on RFPs and like all this like
Yeah.
I bet that Disney money is good.
So. Yeah. Well, we actually worked on it with another agency that was Chicago based. So they had the bulk of their business in Chicago.
Right.
Well,
I mean, and listen, I know that there are going to be Disney fans listening, and let me speak to you directly, Disney fans of Dyking Out. I want you to know that I walked into that park for the very first time. Okay, I rolled up, not giving a goddamn about every trash can, and what happened to me? I solved the cast member's riddle, and I got an honorary Disney citizen pin, which apparently is rare. He pulled it from the vault. People at the park kept coming up to me being like, how did you get that? And I said, bitch, by having the Disney spirit. You can look at my Instagram. You'll see that pin sitting pretty on my titty. And just know that I got the head. And you did. I don't know why I'm starting a fight.
What a successful first trip to Disney. That is
solving
huge.
A riddle.
Truly a riddle. Some shout out Angelo at Disney Town Hall.
Yes.
He, you know, I went there to, I had a question about zoning. I thought they were doing an open town hall meeting. I wanted to talk about the potholes in my district. No, my friend, Lori, lovely, lovely gal, she was like, oh, it's your first trip to Disney. We can get you a pin that says, like, my first trip.
Yeah.
And so I was like, great, fun, flirty, throw it in the scrapbook. And so we went in there, and I guess we were so, you know, we're clowns. We're full clowns, and we're just exuding full buffoonery and clownery. That this sweet cast member, also how dystopian that all employees at Disney are called cast members. Weird.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, Angelo was like, hey, listen. After he gives me my first time at Disney film, he's like, listen, I'm going to ask you a question. If you answer it correctly, then you will get this pin from the vault, is what he said. And as much, and I mean, as I told you, like, I outside here, New York, Brooklyn, sitting on our living room floor clip, doesn't care about a pin from the vault. But there, in that moment, I was like, give me that pin. And he asked me the riddle. I won't reveal it. I simply won't reveal it. But the riddle was riddled. Then I got it right. And your girl got her pin.
Wow. Yeah.
It stays in the vault. The riddle stays in the vault.
Stays in the vault. Listen, if I get like 1,000 diking out followers to follow me on Instagram, I'll drop the riddle. I'll drop Angelo's full name, his social security number. You can get the pin.
If you're hot and you hit up Colette on Lex, then that's you true. Get to hear the riddle.
Yeah, if you're a bell type who lives in Brooklyn, it won't take much. Just hit me up. I'll give you that fucking riddle. I'll give you so much more.
You get some flops and a Jetson with that.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh, things are getting spicy.
So also, was this the trip where you went to Palm Springs?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I'm following you on Instagram. It's a great follow.
Thank you so much. Yes, it started in a very different kind of gay location. Mm-hmm. I went to Palm Springs, went to Joshua Tree for the first time, and then Disneyland. Went from like communing with the earth, right, crying at the moon, to then being peak capitalistic human engineering.
Imagineering.
Take notes, Melody.
Imagineering.
Yeah, take notes. We're going for the first time.
Well, I've been to Palm Springs.
I'm going for the first time. We are both going to Palm Springs for Dinosaur.
Dinosaur.
Dino weekend.
Oh, shit.
But we have an Airbnb. Like, I'm going to try and get out to nature. I'm not going to be at the Margaritaville the whole time.
No. Fuck nature. you better bring those like powdered electrolytes and stuff. Are you sure you're going to survive?
No, absolutely not. Just check my tracking app. Slated to get it. My period that day. It lasts the entirety of the dyna.
Oh, shit. You need that Dyna Shore fast pass.
Yeah, I know.
You need it. The Dyna Shore Genie app. That's gonna be very dope.
Yeah,
it should be fun.
Looking forward to it.
I hope by the end of it, you two are both just like Alex Mack goo. I don't know if that reference will work for your Gen Z listeners.
I think it will. I think it will because Alex Mack is so gay.
Again, an iconic. Next time I'm on, we'll dissect the dunks of Nickelodeon.
Oh fuck yeah!
I mean, that's a whole. I'm waiting for Amanda Bynes. I think she will be, you know, when she's ready, when she's healthy. I think Amanda Bynes needs just like a good butch. To lead her.
She's in a conservatorship herself. Huh?
She's out now?
Oh, she's out?
She is out now. But still posting weird things on Instagram.
Oh, I haven't checked in a while.
She posted something recently. She was engaged. I think she's not engaged anymore, but she posted something on Instagram being like, my fiance is looking at MILF porn.
Okay.
That's as if she was like, what? And then, yeah, she was like an indictment. She's like this pervert. And it's like, yeah, I mean, we all do.
Could be worse. Also, That's great, because then you know that when you're a MILF, he'll be into it.
Yeah.
Oh, great point. Right. That means that you know you have longevity.
You hope your man is into MILF porn if you want kids.
Oh, incredible point.
Yeah. Yes. Definitely better to look later in life than
earlier.
Porn wise.
But gotta make sure looking forward, he's still gonna be like,
yeah.
Oh, man. We have a final question. We always kick off with a question. We're going to wrap up with a question. Carolyn, what's that question?
Colette, I want to know your thoughts. As a community, what are we not diking out about enough?
Okay. Thank you for presenting me with this opportunity.
Besides Amanda Bynes.
Listen, I think we need to, like, I think we're doing the right amount of diking out. She needs to take it slow. Amanda. I'm seeing a lot of cowboy boots in the community, right? And I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm having a pair. I'm invested. Let's go. Yeehaw. And so what I want to see more of, what I think we should dike out more of, what we should invest more of, line dancing. Let's think about it. Okay. I think this is, like, I've seen what we've done as a community with Bruce Springsteen. I've seen what we've done with Bass Pro Shop. I think this is something that we can take. We can make it our own. Right? I think that is the closest I'll get to, like, the 90s movie, like teen movies that had choreographed dances at prom.
Yeah.
That never turned out to be true. And I'm still devastated about that.
Right.
And so just imagine, like, in Ginger's at Cubbyhole in the middle of Dyke March, we stop and we all do a little
in
line dance.
In the middle of Dyke March, yes.
The Dyke March should be a line dance.
Yeah. Right? Someone hits silk chiffon and we're just boot scooting down the block.
We do need to walk the walk, because I am seeing a lot of cowboy boots in the community, and I've been used to seeing them for years. My girlfriend is from the South and earnestly, genuinely has been wearing them her entire life exclusively, but
it's a sensible shoe.
Yeah. Now we go out and we see, I'm seeing others now wear it, and we got a boot scoot and boogie. There is something really gay about line dancing, or like 90s culture feels really, or 90s country feels very gay to me. And
that's the Martina McBride, a Shania, Freebo.
I went to a dyke hoedown, like a dyke night at Pink Metal in Bushwick. I hope they do it again. But it was a bunch of dykes packed out the bar, all in, like, one girl showed up in Shania outfit. Carolyn, don't you know her?
Yeah. I know her. Shannon. Yeah. Shout out to Shannon.
Yeah. Like the actual leopard outfit.
The full,
From the video.
Yeah.
But Allie felt so at home, man. Everyone was in vests, little handkerchiefs around their necks. Everyone was in boots. And had we broken out into a line dance, it would have been, it was near perfect.
But they need to do it. $3 bill, I think, because $3 bill does sound like that could be a country bar, right? $3 bill, right? And in Atlanta, RIP, used to be a bar called Three Legged Cowboy. I know I've talked about this before, but they had a country western line dancing night, and that was ladies' night. And this butch dyke called Pepper, who had a BlackBerry holster on her side, would give free line dancing lessons. So you'd go there early, she'd teach you the dances, and then at night when they played the songs, you knew how to do them. And I would go almost every week for a while, and I do not like country music, but it was a lot of fun and it felt so gay. And they would also, when you got a beer, tie the napkin around the neck of the beer like a handkerchief.
Aww.
And while playing Tibet L Word videos on mute, so it wasn't too distracting.
Wow.
Oh my God. You are literally, this is the dream I'm trying. Where is Pepper?
It was the dream.
Pepper, we need you. Find Pepper.
I think I actually did a deep dive and I did find Pepper. I know that she's still around in Atlanta, probably still giving line dancing lessons, but maybe we get Pepper on the pod sometime.
Yeah, Pepper, because you know my last experience was with Terry at Broken Spoke.
Shut it down. No Broken
Spoke. Homophobic establishment in Austin, Texas, where Terry teaches line dancing.
Don't go there. Find Pepper.
Okay.
Hire Pepper out for your wedding.
Yeah.
Bring Pepper to your Disney wedding and have Elsa line dancing into homosexuality with all of us.
Love it.
That's a plan.
Great. All right. Colette, we sadly have to wrap up. I'm having so much fun. I am sad, though, that you don't do your show at Stonewall anymore with Olivia Levine.
Oh, yes,
I know
yes,
you
yes.
two are busy ladies.
I know. Well, you know, the pandy put a real stopper in live shows, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, for a while, Stonewall, you know, New York was taking things slow, being safe. But yeah, we're in the works.
In the works? Okay.
We're in conversations to get a new thing going.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out.
Yeah.
Great. And anything else that you have going on that you want to plug, or where can people follow you on social media?
Oh my God. Well, as you heard it here first, the Instagram, it's a good follow. And
it is.
You know, that's where I keep up to date and all my happenings. So if you're interested in knowing a bit more about me, or, you know, just finding out the riddle at Disney, I won't discriminate. Both can follow me. Follow me at Young, Y-U-N-G, Baba Yaga, like the Russian witch. Talk about communing in the forest.
And you can follow us at Dyking Out. You can follow me at TGI Carolyn.
You can follow me at Melody Kamali.
Thanks so much for dyking out with us today.
We'll see y'all next Tuesday.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz, and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.